I want to set the stage for what we're going to be talking about. I want to talk to you about the single most important thing that I have found in the Bible. If you could take everything that you read in the Bible, if you were to reduce it all down to one thing, I found the one thing that is probably the most important thing in the whole Bible. It's so important that God never even told his prophets about it. He never even told the righteous men of old about it. He never even mentioned it in the Old Testament. That's how important it is. And it is so secret that you really have to want to know it to be able to have the information. It's that good. You can read it in the Bible and you won't even see it. You can read it in the Bible and sometimes you can even say the words, but the light never goes on in your heart and mind because it takes the Lord to show you the truth. It is one of the most valuable things I've ever found in the Bible. Seriously. I'm serious. I'm telling you, this is like the thing. What is it? I'll tell you about it. I'm going to share it tonight. We're going to go over it and over it and over it. It is incredible, but I really want you to know that this is so important. God didn't even tell the Old Testament people about it. They went through everything they went through and never even knew about this. They had glimpses, they have ideas, they had a fragrance of it, but they didn't know it. They never did. It wasn't until us that he decided to reveal this thing to everybody. So if you turn in your Bibles with me, we'll talk about it. The title of the message today is The Riches of His Glory. The riches of his glory. So let's start in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Today I want to really share with you, I mean, everything, you know how we've been blessed with so very, very much. So very, very much. And all of it's important to some degrees. All of it is. Jesus taking the stripes that we can be healed, the 39 stripes, that's important and that's powerful. But this is more powerful than that. That the fact that we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is incredible and so very, very valuable. But there's something even more valuable while we're on the earth right now. The fact that Jesus gave us his name and that we can use his name. Intense. How important is that? This is more important than that. I can think of so many things that are really significant and important in the Bible. This is more important. It is really the thing that is the most important thing in the New Testament Bible. And I want to bring it to your attention. Ready? Starting in verse 26. Well, let me start in 24. Sorry, Deb. Starting in 24, let me read down. Colossians chapter 1. Are you with me? I now rejoice in my sufferings. That's not it. Okay, that's the place to chuckle. Thank you. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking, that in afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations has now been revealed to the saints. None of the Old Testament guys got it. None of them. But we get it. And here it is. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. He really wants to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. And this message is titled, The Riches of His Glory. He really wants us to get what is the real riches of his glory. Ready? It is this, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the most important thing in the whole New Testament. Jesus took stripes. Jesus did miracles. Jesus did so many things on the earth. But he's not here anymore. He's seated at the right hand of God. So in order for him to succeed in what he's been commissioned to do, which was to make more sons and daughters, he put himself in me. He put himself in you. This is a mystery. The rest of the world never knew about this. We're the only ones that have this. What makes a Christian? Christ in you. That's the one thing the world does not have, is Christ in them. You can say this. Listen, you can say, Jesus, come into my heart. And those words can fall to the ground. You can say, Father, forgive me of my sins. And those words can fall to the ground and accomplish nothing. Jesus died for my sins. Those words can fall to the ground and accomplish absolutely nothing. But if Christ is in your heart, that is your hope for glory. Because if he's not, you're none of his. None at all. Not at all. It's not about speaking words. It's about having Christ actually living on the inside of me. Really. And how many of you would like to manifest more of Christ? I love manifesting Christ. And I think there's more of him to manifest through me. Amen. Look at this in John chapter 14. Just as a little side note. In John chapter 14. Look what Jesus said here. Starting in verse. He's talking about, you know, Philip said, show us the Father. Jesus said, have I been with you so long that you haven't seen the Father? He says, if you show us Father, that'll be good enough. He says, I and the Father are one. You know that part in the Bible? That's in John chapter 14. So it goes on, and Jesus talking with them in verse 17, he says, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit that he's going to bring to us, whom the world cannot receive. The world can't have it. They don't know what it is. It's not for them. They are children of wrath until they turn to the Lord, right? Until you recognize that Christ exists, you can't have him. And cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he what? Dwells with you. And what? And will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus left, but he left his spirit. Who is the spirit of who? Jesus Christ. The spirit, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of Jesus Christ. He used it while he was on the earth. And then he left so he can give his spirit to us. So his spirit is on the earth in us, right? So now Jesus has just multiplied himself exponentially by you and me, right? We agree. Look at this. Jump down to verse 20. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father and you in me. And what? I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, what is his commandment? Love others. Exactly. The way he's loved us, we have to love other people. That's the commandment. You can't get this without that. You have to love other people. That's what he puts on each one of us. We have to love other people. It's not negotiable. It's not this. You have free will, so you can choose to love others or not. It's not like that, you guys. Do you know what? We don't have free will anymore. You gave up your free will. You are under a ruler now, and whatever he says goes, period. You don't get a choice anymore. He's the boss, and you suck it up and do what he says. Did I say that nice? Did I say that nice enough? I meant to say that nice enough, okay? But I meant to say it emphatically. Isn't that true? In your job, does your boss give you free will to do your job or not? No. You can have this free will. Either you do it or you're out of here. You can choose that. You have that choice. But if you're here and we're paying you, guess what? You do it not only what we say, the way we say, and when we say, right? That's the same way it is in heaven. We do not, absolutely do not have free will anymore. That's rebellion now. If you've got Christ in you and you seek your own life. I just want to say it nicely. With a smile, amen? So let's go on. 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. What's his commandment? Love one another. If we love one another, that means we love him, right? We can't say we love him who we can't see if we can't love each other who we can see, right? Okay. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And what? I will what? Manifest myself to him. Did anybody else get God bumps on that? If we love other people, if we really love other people, the real love, he'll manifest himself to us and through us. That's how he manifests, through loving other people, not through fasting, although you need to fast, and I'll give you reasons why, not through praying, not through meditating, not through generosity, through loving other people. That's the real thing, the real thing. Let's go on. Are you still with me? All right. Romans chapter 9. So if we want Christ in us, the hope for glory, to actually manifest in our lives, we have to love one another. But here's the thing. Now, let me get to Romans before I keep talking. Romans chapter 9. If you're born again and you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ inside of you, then let me ask you this. Where are you? Huh? Yes, that's what Colossians chapter 3 says. We are hidden in him. Hidden in him. That means when the world sees me, should they see Robert's personality, Robert, or should they see Jesus? Jesus manifesting as Robert, right? I'm not going to be able to change my personality. Here's the secret. Can I go straight for the secret? Here's the secret. It's not fun manifesting Christ. It's not. And anybody that thinks it is wrong, or they're lying to you, or they want you to believe it's something that it's not. It's very difficult, and I want to let you know that. But it's very, very rewarding. It's very, very satisfying. It is really, really nourishing and encouraging to your soul. But it takes dying to yourself. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. You know that? I have been dealing with some personal things between me and the Lord about my stuff. And I had a dream not too long ago, maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And I've really been dealing with dying to myself lately. Let me just share what I walk through. And if it'll help you, bless you. If it doesn't, then you've got a charmed life. And praise God, you've got a charmed life. No, seriously, some people do, Fred. Some people don't have a lot of drama. Some people don't have a lot of stuff to overcome. They were born with a little bit better advantages, so they don't have to experience some of the things that I have to experience. I was born at negative 10 in the pit, in the mire, in the mud, with garbage all around me. I had a lot of cleaning up to do, so I had a lot of thoughts that a lot of people don't even have in their head to deal with. I've had a lot of bad experiences of sin that I've had to have washed out of my heart that a lot of people have never had to have washed out of their heart. They've never done those things. So different people have different things to deal with. So for me, dying to myself was hard and still is hard. And let me just tell you what dying to yourself looks like, okay? Preferring others over yourself. That's not the hard part. Here's the hard part. Every single time. That's the hard part. That they get their way, but you don't. They get what they want, but you give up your part. They get it their way, and you love them and let them. Dying to yourself. Not what I want, but what Jesus wants, to love other people. So when I go out and I meet somebody, it's, I'm telling you, I'm dealing with this, so I'm just being honest with you. There's times I don't want to pray for people. There's times when I just want to go in the store, get my food, and just get in my shopping cart and get going. You know that? I don't want to stop. I don't want to notice anybody. I don't want to notice anybody. I do, and that's very selfish of me. But thank God for grace. I'm going to keep going and keep going and keep going. Amen? Dying to ourselves. It's not my will, it's His will be done, right? What did John the Baptist say in John 3:30? He said, you must increase and I must decrease, right? So it sounds like dying. Oh. That's true until you let go of it. As soon as you let go of it, it's life, joy, blessing, miracle. Changed life. Big, wonderful rewards. But those don't come in pride, in false humility, in thinking high of myself, in putting myself first, in making sure I'm comfortable. That doesn't come that way. It comes by truly letting Jesus lead my life. It goes so far as to say, Lord, this is not the direction I was choosing to go. I'm going to change it right now because I want to get into the good stuff, right? But I must admit, I got to tell you guys, if you look at any place in the Bible, whether it's Colossians, whether it's Thessalonians, whether it's Romans, whether it's Galatians, I mean, you can just go. Everywhere it's talking about the glory of God and the manifestation of God and the goodness of God. You know what it says right after that? Dying to yourself, letting go of your selfish ways, killing off your members that are on the earth. Stop being angry and malicious and all these that don't stop. Purify yourself. You know why? Because all that stuff is the I that's in me that I have to let go of so that Christ lives and not me. So that it's not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. I living means I care about me instead of you or you or you. That I prefer me, that I'm comfortable, I'm provided for, I'm healthy, I'm happy, I'm good. And then out of my overflow of being thankful for my wonderful life, that I have a little left over to give to you. That's not true Christianity. True Christianity is that I'll go without in order that you have. I'll not have what I need so that you will. I'll be wrong. I'll be the one that takes the blame so that you can be set free. That's real Christianity. Paul suffered a lot of stuff, and not just people that don't want to hear the gospel. He had to learn how to let go of himself. This teaching that we had on humility and pride, how many of y'all were here for that? That was great, wasn't it? I never realized how prideful I was. In fact, that's what started this whole thing. And it's like, oh my gosh, I am so prideful. Like when Pastor Trey talks, you want to hear what pride does? Pride is Pastor Trey's talking. This is what I do. I'm sorry, I'm just going to confess it, you know. You may not hear it. Trey's going somewhere, and I'll say, he's going to go to this scripture right here. That's pride. I do that. I'm sorry. Sorry, Pastor Trey. I just confessed my sins before y'all. All right. But little things like that, saying, I know, oh, I know, oh, pick me, oh, look at me, oh, I'm pretty cool, huh? God's really using me. You know, it's so subtle. But I do that stuff still. Thinking I'm laying down my life, but I'm not really. So I've had this test lately where I've been getting to go toe-to-toe with somebody. Real toe-to-toe with somebody. They are in the wrong. They are lying. It is terrible. And the Lord says, shut up. Let them lie about you. Let them tell everyone how terrible you are. Let them humiliate you in public. He says, are you dead or not? Are you dead or not? Seriously. Seriously. But listen, you guys, I'm telling you, this is the way to really getting the manifestation of the glory of God now in your life. This is the real way to see Christ manifesting through you, by preferring others above ourselves, by loving others. Now, I'm not saying you can't have joy, you can't have self-satisfaction, you can't do that stuff. I'm not saying you can't have any pleasure. What I'm saying is, when it comes to somebody here in our faces, do we have to be right? Do we have to say our piece? Do we have to tell them what they're doing wrong? I got quickened on this stuff, you guys, and I'm telling you what, I was hurting really bad because I was right. You guys laugh, but I was really honestly right. And they were lying and making me out to be the bad guy. And he says, shut up and love them. Encourage them. Bless them. Say good things about them. Right now? Not right now. Tomorrow. After this blows over. No, because then you want to look like the good guy. Right now. In the battle. Ooh, that's going to give them more ammunition. Are you dead or not? So anyway, I'm wrestling with this stuff, and I go to bed one night, not knowing this is on my mind. It's one of those things that he just deals with you in your subconscious. He deals with you in your inner person, and it's just going on all the time back here as you're doing life, you know, but it's still always turning and churning because the Lord's continually perfecting me. So I go to bed and I wake up in the morning. And you know that little moment in the day when it's right, you're dreaming and then you're not. But you're not awake yet. You're dreaming and then you're not dreaming, but you're not awake with your eyes open. You're right in between from the dream coming into this reality. Right there. And I'm right there going like that. And I guess that's the quietest time for the Lord and me. You know, because I'm conscious, but I haven't thought anything on my own yet. Because I've really been struggling with this. Right then, he said, he showed me, there's two me's in here. There's two me's. There's the sin nature, me, that the Bible says is dead and that it was killed with Christ and that it was buried with Christ, right? There was that guy. And he said, this other guy, it's Christ in me. The other me is Christ in me. My spirit person is Christ in me. My spirit person is Jesus in me. I didn't know that. I thought I had a spirit and God's spirit and we're both one because his spirit's talking to my spirit. But the thing is, they're so blended together, they're one. One spirit. Not one person. One spirit. My spirit and his spirit become one spirit, but I'm two people. I'm the natural guy that wants to be a Christian, and then there's Jesus in me. And I've had to let go of my natural Christian identity as a man that walks in and let Jesus say the way I go. I don't have a free will anymore. I don't have the right to choose anymore. If he's really Lord, he's the supreme authority in my life. Supreme authority in my life. Guys, I'm going to confess before you, and the Lord already knows. I only do that this much in real life. In real life, this much is he the supreme authority in my life. This other guy who's a Christian, this man, this natural man who's learned how to be nice and kind and generous and to do all the things that the Bible says because I'm trained on how to do that, he called that the sin nature. When I woke up, he called that the sin nature, that guy, because he still wanted to be right. He still wanted to get his way. He wanted to be godly. And he's got to be dead completely. Amen? All right, that was the glory to God, the exciting part of tonight. Let's go on to Romans chapter 9, verse 23. Because Christ in me is my hope of glory. Now, I want to let you know, once we do resignate or resign ourselves to the fact that we no longer get to choose, that Jesus leads, that Jesus is where our attention is, Jesus is who we serve, and he's in me, leading me and teaching me in my heart. Once we know that's true, then we've got all this other stuff to look forward to, which is in Romans chapter 9, verse 23, that he may make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, that's us, which he has prepared beforehand for what? Glory. We were created, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, about 14, that we are created for the obtaining of the glory of God. Do you know that his whole thing was to give you and me the riches, the fullness of his glory? That's his plan. But he has to get self out of the way. Self is actually our enemy. It's the temporary person. We need the eternal point of view, the eternal person to lead. That means not my will, but your will be done. That means when something's going on and I want to go to praise myself, defend myself, include myself, he goes, you're dead. Has he convicted anybody else of this? Am I the only one? Oh, there's a couple of you that have suffered silently also. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, beforehand, that we should have the glory. Let's look in verse 24 and 25 and 26. 24 says, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are my people. There they shall be called what? Sons of the living God. We become sons of the living God by walking in the fullness of his glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Moving right along, take a look at this one, if you will. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Once we get ourselves under control, it says in Hebrews that though we suffer for a little while, you know, as he's telling us to lay it down, to lay down our lives, to lay down our lives, to what? Deny ourselves. You know, I don't like those scriptures, you guys. I'm being honest. I don't like denying myself. I don't like laying down my life and letting other people run the show and get all the recognition in the parade. But here's the thing. We're talking about the full glory of the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting in us. Which is better? Where did I just tell you to go? Ephesians 1. Hold your finger there. Go back a second. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Look at this. We're going to come to Ephesians 1. But go back to Romans chapter 8. Look at this. Ready? Verse 16. Romans 8, verse 16. I mean, all of verse 12, all the way through where it's talking about being sons. Let's just start in 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. That's what I was doing. I'm not saying passions and lusts and evil desires and fornications and drunkenness. That's not what I'm talking about. According to the flesh, according to my natural earthly identity, rather than a son of God by the Spirit of God, by Jesus in me, right? So that's what I'm talking about. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, stop. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, there's a lot of times I'm doing Christian deeds being led by my carnal person that knows how to be a Christian. I'm being honest with y'all. We're walking this in reality. We are going to see so much power of Jesus because Christ is going to be exalted and not a bunch of us's imitating him. Because if we imitate him, there's no power. But if we let him be himself and we get out of the way, there's power. So how do I know I'm doing it? Because there's power. That's how I know I've gotten out of the way. Does that make sense? I know when I'm out of the way because he's got power. It's not me. It says in Corinthians that I can't do anything of myself. I should never trust in the arm of my flesh. Those who walk by the Spirit, in other words, those who Jesus is actually leading. Got me? Those who Jesus is leading. Not us who are being spiritual. Those who Jesus is leading, for as many as are led by Jesus of God, I put that in, that's not what it says, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive Jesus' spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received Jesus' spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself, or Jesus himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In other words, Jesus is telling me in my own heart is assuring me that I'm God's child. Holy smokes. Get it again? The Spirit of God is assuring my spirit that I'm a child of God. Right? I'm not a child of God just because I read it in the book. I'm not a child of God just because I prayed something. I'm a child of God because his spirit is in me, bearing witness to me that I'm his child. We're talking about the real stuff here, not the stuff that looks like the real stuff. The real stuff, right? Holy smokes, are you kidding me? And if God, then children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That means joint heirs. We get a portion just like he does. Of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed, what? Darn it. Why does that part have to be in there? If indeed, if you actually do suffer with him, that he may also be glorified together. If we're not suffering with him, we're probably not actually being led by him. Because you know what he'll make me do? He'll make me shut up. He doesn't need my mouth to be God. He needs my vessel. Not me. He needs my vessel. He needs me to be seated in heavenly places in him. What does the Bible say this is? The temple of God. How much does this temple speak? How much does this temple decide what goes on inside of it? This temple doesn't do nothing. It just stands there. That's this. This temple has been making decisions for God. Seriously. This temple has been the one that's been saying, oh, this is right and this is wrong. I should be vindicated. I should get my, I deserve this. Do you know how hard I've worked? I deserve this. What do you mean? I should be acknowledged. Look how far I've come. Jesus says, you just got all your reward. That's an abomination in my sight. I hate that stuff when you do that. What? You're supposed to be dead and let me be glorified through you. Let me love people through you. Let me heal people through you. Let me cast out demons through you. Let me pray and prophesy over people. Let me speak life into them that they can know my goodness. Let me do those things. Get out of the way and let me do those things. We're a carrier of the fire. We're not the fire. Amen? I know, isn't this a great message? I got to tell you, it is. We need to hear this because we need to go to the next level of power. Not that, oh, we need all that power. Power is communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what power is, communion. Why? Because he is everything. So we need to fellowship with him so that we can let him be him through us. Because the more we do that, the more Christ is built inside of us. The more we hear him tell us what to do, the more we can do what he does. Amen. Right? Aren't we supposed to follow his word and do his works? Right? By letting him lead. If we abide in him, in John chapter 15, right? And his word abides in us, right? Then we're going to bear fruit. That's when it's going to happen. Because now, whatever we ask, we'll have. You know why? Because we're out of the way now. Selfishness is out of the way. Pride is out of the way. And now a spirit that's perfectly aligned with Jesus is the one doing the asking. Right? Now it's no problem to have whatever we ask God for. Because the selfishness and the self-exaltation and the pride of recognition is out of the way now. And Christ is going, how much glory are you and I supposed to get while we're on the earth? How much recognition from other people? How much acknowledgement that we've made a good job, we've done a great job? How much of that do we have to have? Listen, we will get praise. We will get acknowledgement. We will leave a legacy. We just don't have to initiate it or insist on it. It'll come on its own. And if it comes, it'll come. Let it be. It's nothing to us. Everything we've laid down, we count it as dung, right? Should we go there and look at that scripture too? That's always a good one. We count our life as nothing that we can lay hold of Christ, that we may attain to his resurrection, his glory. That we can be just like him. Remember when I taught about transfiguration? That transfiguration taking place? That only happens when we draw the curtains of our flesh and let the Spirit of God, Jesus himself, lead in our lives. Do you know that? But it doesn't work unless we're actually acknowledging him in our day. When we sit down in our morning, we sit down with him. We can say Holy Spirit if we want, or we can say Jesus if we want. He'll respect both. It's not a one or the other. It's we can get in his word, but his word alone won't do it. His word is important because it's only by the engrafted word that gets into our heart that's able to change our soul or to save our soul. You know that, right, in James? But in Second Corinthians 3, it says that it's not by the letter of the law either or by the words that are written on the page. It's by his spirit. Right? His spirit has to breathe life into the words on the page. So it's the word and the spirit together that transforms us, right? And it's our sure dwelling place. It's our safe place to be. But the riches of his glory, what happens? Let's stop talking about the dying unless the Bible brings it up. But what happens when we really have gotten to the place that if we start getting a little bit self-exalted, a little bit of pride in us, what is it after we've dealt with that and we started pushing it down, we recognize it, so we kind of stop. We stop trying to get credit or being the one that has the answers. And we just kind of get a place to where we've calmed and quieted our souls now, to where we're not like children. We're weaned from the breast and we've started becoming mature and quieted ourselves down. We don't need the recognition. We don't need the accolades. We're okay because our relationship with God is so awesome that he by far meets our needs, right? Than anything we can get out of this world. We've started not loving the things in this world anymore or the praises of men or, in my case, hearing my own voice. That was a good place to chuckle. Thank you for the courtesy chuckle. I appreciate it. You know, none of those things. But now Christ is leading. So as he is, we got a grip on it. We fasted a little bit. You know, we've denied ourselves a little bit. We've put down the flesh a little bit. And now Christ is kind of up here running the show, you know, leading. Now we're starting to see some real manifestation of stuff happening in our lives. And let me tell you this. Once you get a grip on it, you can always recapture it really quickly, which is really wonderful. Let me say this real quick. I don't want to be on the dying too much. My sister, in case you're hearing me, I'm not going to tell you which sister it is. She watches my YouTube stuff, so I'm not going to say which. Oh, she's the one that watches YouTube stuff, the only one. All right, so you know who you are. She was having a hard time with her husband, and her husband wasn't being as godly as she thought he should be. She was mad that she was always the spiritual person, that she always had to lead, that she always had to pray, that she was the one that, you know, was dealing with the church. And he just kind of, do-do-do-do-do, what do you think, honey? Do-do-do-do-do, what do you think, honey? Okay, let's do that. And he's just a real carefree kind of guy, right? And she's hating it because she's the spiritual one and she's got to hold it all together. And I said, sweetheart, I just hate to tell you, that's pride and you're deceived. Because the fact that it's hurting you so bad means that you're living your life instead of letting the Lord live his life through you. You think that you need some kind of credit for what you're doing. You think that you need something in this world and you don't have it yet. And she was crying and she just couldn't get it and couldn't get it. I go, that is self-righteousness. You need to let it go. Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. It has taken months and months and months and months. But guess what? She's learned how to let it go and let God be God. When we really can let God be God, he is God. He's not trapped in our boundaries of what we say he can or can't do, because most of the time, in the natural, we're saying what he isn't doing. If you're living by your natural person, you're noticing what's not being done. If you're living by the Spirit, you notice what is being done. Because to the pure, as Titus says, all things are pure. That's the truth. Ephesians chapter 1. Did we read in Romans? We did. I didn't finish. Sorry. Let me finish in Romans real quick. I didn't get to where I wanted to get to. And then we'll go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Right? The sufferings of this present time are not just people hating Christians, although that is a serious part of it. But the sufferings is not getting the accolades or the recognition. Not getting, why don't they love me? How come they're not thinking of me? Why do they pick somebody else and never pick me? Why do they call the other people but they don't call me? Why? Yeah, that's all the carnal person. That's the wounded soul. Amen? We have to learn how to let all that go and give our lives totally to the Lord. In that dream, I really saw a merismos, which is the Hebrews 4:12 word, divide asunder. I saw a merismos, a separation between the soul and the spirit. I really saw the difference between my carnal nature, that was being a Christian, and Christ in me. Christ in me is the only one that has a right to lead, right? Every time. That means I've got to really slow it down until he and I get to the place that we're synchronized and he's leading and I can follow his lead in my day, in my job, in my responsibilities. It takes time to get that back into the right, that he actually is leading my life. Not just the highlights, but the day-to-day leading, that he's actually being glorified in me. Am I a freak? Am I too intense? Am I expecting too much? I want the full glory. You know, I'm just telling you. No, I want all of it. Listen, however big the basket is that he's going to drag out, I want it to be filled with mine. Is that all right? Because here's the thing. If I seek to save it in this life, what happens to it? Lose what? If I seek to save what? My life. If I seek to get my reward, my say, being right, being loved, being praised in this life, I lose it. But if I'll give it up now to love other people that they can get what they want and what they need so that they can know the kingdom of God is real, that I'll not do what I want and do what's necessary for the kingdom of God, then I get reward. Jesus makes it up to me. By me not getting the praise now, it takes it and sets it up there in heaven. Are you with me? The suffering that I now get, if I suffer now in this world for the Lord's sake, I don't mean become a martyr and have people throw knives at me. I mean that if I lay down my life for him, he rewards me with his life, right? This is 120 years. That's the best any of us can hope for, right? That's eternity. Where do I think I want my investment to be? Here or there? Do I need to be right here or can I be right there? Right? Amen. Jesus, what's it called? Rewards humility and selflessness. Did Jesus ever defend himself? Never. Did he? Never. Not ever. But was Jesus a wuss? Absolutely not, and neither do we need to be. We can be bold for the things of God. When it comes to God and the kingdom of God and loving others, we can stand there like a mother bear. We can defend people for the kingdom of God. But when it comes to self-exaltation, it's a different story. Amen? Okay, go to Ephesians with me. Oh, good. It's only 6:57. We have lots of time. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, starting in 17. We all know this prayer, but I want to focus on this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? The Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of what? Okay, so are we supposed to know him? And if we actually know him, he will give us what? What are those two other spirits there? What are they? That's right. If we actually get to know God, by knowing God, we get what? Do you want those two things? Do you want them? How do you get them? Where's he at? And if I'm doing all the talking, he can't. So here's the thing. To sit down and get to the place that he's actually talking to you. That we can actually get face-to-face time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Face-to-face time with him. Spirit-to-spirit time with him. The real stuff. It's not good enough. Listen, it's not good enough just wanting to know him. Listen, anybody want to know me? Somebody raise your hand. Somebody. Thank you. Somebody, thank you. If you want to get to know me, what do you have to do? Spend time with me. Spend time with me. Not spend time next to me. Not spend time asking me questions. Spending time with me personally. Now, if you want to know me, you'll ask me questions about me so I can tell you about me, right? If you want me to know you, then you'll spend all your time talking about yourself and your problems and what you need, right? But if you want to get to know me, you'll ask me questions about me, and you'll listen and let me tell you, right? So knowing God is that we actually spend time communicating with him, letting him teach us who he is. If we do that, we'll have wisdom and revelation. Are you with me? So let's go on. Go to 3:16. Or we didn't get there yet. Just finish. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that's because you're spending time with God, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the what? His glory, which is of his inheritance. Where? So the riches of his glory is in you and me. Wait a second. We've heard this a couple times. Are you telling me the riches, the wealth, the opulence of God is in me and you? God's wealth is in you and in me? Is that real? Are we living like it is? Do we believe him that it is? Is it just in here, or do we actually know that's true for us? 3:16, going across the page. Look at this in 3:16. That he would grant to you according to the what? The riches of his glory. That is Christ in you. Remember what the riches of the glory is? Christ in you, right? The hope of glory. To be strengthened with might or power through his spirit, where? In our inner man. Look at this. Go on. That Christ may dwell in our hearts or your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know what? The love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with what? All the fullness of God. How does God, how does Jesus manifest himself? We read it in John 14. By obeying his commandment, which is to love other people, he'll manifest himself. And he will manifest the riches of his glory through you and through me for other people. He'll do that through him being him. So to sum it all up, as you turn to Philippians 4:19. Jesus wants me to be him on the earth. Jesus wants you to be him on the earth. He said that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I'm in the Father. We can read this in John chapter 20 also. John 17. I'll look. It is close. It's right in there. It's either in 17 or 20. But he said that you are in me and I am in you. That means we're one, right? So that means Jesus wants us to be him to everybody else, right? So that when we're loving other people, they can't tell the difference if it's just some stranger or if it's Jesus loving them. Because they get the same love that if Jesus was standing in front of them would give to them. That we see them through his eyes. That we love them with his love, right? That we provide for them out of this miraculous power that he has. That we've laid down our lives, and it's not through arrogance or anything else, but now it's by him being himself, setting people free through us. We don't have to think, is it going to work? What if it doesn't work, Jesus? Because we're dead. We don't matter. We've shut ourselves up. And we've stopped ourselves from having to be the thing that makes it work. And we're just the vessel. We are the church. We are the temple. And we're carting the Spirit of God around on the earth, right? Oh, praise Jesus. This is too good to be true. Let's finish with this one. Philippians. I just want to let you guys know, thank you. I needed to share this. This is good stuff for me. This is really good stuff. And I want to just help you with this. Paul's talking to the Philippians, and you need to read it on yourself. I would encourage you to read chapter 3. It's very, very good. In fact, all of Philippians is. But I really want you to see what he's talking about giving up yourself and how great thou art, and really letting Jesus be the one who's exalted. Because I'll tell you this, I'm not saying this is true, but I kind of have a suspicion. Whenever Jesus is talking about the glory, he goes into the righteousness. He is associating his glory with his righteousness. He's not really differentiating between the two. So when we walk into the righteousness of God, it's his glory that we're actually walking into. or walking with. Look what it says. Very famous verse. And from the point of view that we've been talking about, look at verse 19. And my God, that's Paul's God, shall supply all your needs. Hallelujah. How? By his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Where's Christ Jesus? God supplies all your needs by himself who's inside of you. Everything you need, you're carrying around with you right now. Every answer you need, you're carrying around with you right now. Every miracle you need, you're carrying around right now. Every job you need, you're carrying around right now. Everything you need, you have in you. Because it's Christ who is in you, which is the riches of his glory, which is you and I walking in the full manifestation of the glory of God. I told you the dream I had, right, about the glory of God birthing inside of us and the morning star rising. That's for every one of us. So what we need to do now is walk in that stuff right now. Really take it seriously. You know, I've talked with a few of you that have been fasting lately and pressing into the kingdom of God, and I got to tell you, it really shows. And if we do that for a little while to make a course correction, to start off 2018, as my friend Liz allows me to take credit for, 20 great teen, amen, 20 great teen, because it's going to be a great year. I'm going to use that over and over and over again. Thank you. So, listen, this is a perfect way to start off this year, getting out of the way. Making it not about us, but making it about other people and saying, Lord, what's the word you have for that person? Lord, what's the miracle you have for that person? Lord, what's the job you have for that person? Lord, what's the encouragement you have for that person? Lord, what's the healing you have for this person? And get out of the way and let him be him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray.